Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The general manager of the New York Yankees is Brian Cashman. He joins us now. Cash, welcome. Thanks for coming down. Very nice of you.
Thanks for having me.
We just had a State of the Union, you and I, the other day, but nice to see you again. And, you know, Cash has been really a fixture, you know, for the 30 years of fan. He's been in his job a very long time and been with the Yankees even longer than that. I think you've been with the Yankees since, is it 86 since the Yankees?
Internship 86.
So you span the 30 years. You've been with the Yankees 30 years, right?
Yeah, so I've been locked in with you guys for a long time.
Very long time, and probably been on as about as many times as you probably. If we ever had a guest list, and I don't know if anybody ever kept the total, you would be right at the top of the guest list at FAN. You've probably been on as many times as anybody else.
You know, it's right. No, mostly people don't last this long, so yeah, yes. You're right. 20 years. I wasn't, in the first 10. Yeah, I was underground for the most part. But as GM, you can't run and hide.
Think
right?
About it. Are there any general managers been on the round as long as you? Are you the longest in the majors?
Longest tenured. I mean,
with one team, are you the longest?
Exactly.
I mean, wow.
Dombrowski amongst
right, but I mean, but one team, you're the longest guy, which is quite a statement. It really is. You've been in that job since, I believe, April 98. Is that right? April of 97? Which way is it?
February of 98.
February 98. Yeah. Okay. Replacing Bob Watson, but Cash had a lot to do with building that team in 96. And, you know, it's funny. The 96 team is a team that really there's certain teams that just capture the imagination. That team, the way it won, the way it finished the season and looked vulnerable, some of the things that happened to that team, the dramatic wins, and then that great win, that 3-2 win in game six. It had been so long since they won. That team is a very, I in the 30 years as a fan, it's one of those special, special teams, that 96 Yankee team.
It really was, because obviously it all came together. A lot of controversy with the transition from, you know, the Gene Michael, Buck Showalter, you know, Mike Stanley catching, and amongst others. I can't remember who else. Randy Velarde was on those teams before. And then all of a sudden we transition over to Joe Torre, Bob Watson. Got Girardi, who's our current manager, comes in as the catcher.
Yep.
Whole new everything. And I think in the early stages, no one expected us to do anything. They thought we were making big mistakes. And then it turned out to be a magic carpet ride. And then led into and bled into a whole dynasty that, you know, we sat on for a while.
An incredible run. I mean, when you win 4 in 5 years, win 3 in a row, win 11 straight World Series games, I mean, have the 2000, have the 1998 team that, you know, wins the way it did, beat a Seattle Mariner team that won 116 games. I mean, just, you know, amazing things that were accomplished during that tenure. And, you know, a couple of years ago when the Yankees, for the Yankees, leaned on hard times, which is no playoffs, in 80 wins or 83 wins, you had a vision that you wanted to get younger, you wanted to get more versatile, and obviously the fruits of your labor are in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, we have some exciting times. I mean, our fan base is definitely engaged, and hopefully, you know, we can deliver. The bottom line is not just to get them excited, not to you know, promote somebody here or there, bringing somebody else in to create a little buzz. It's actually the only thing people ever remember, right, is winning. And at the end of the day, we need to find a way to be that last team standing again. I was just talking to somebody before I got here, and as much as you can talk about 96, 98, 99, 2000, where we won, I remember 01,
yes,
where we lost. We're in the World Series, Game 7. I remember 03,
yeah,
when we got there against the Marlins and lost. And I remember 04, where we should have won, but
yes,
we lost. We're up 3 games tonight against the Boston Red Sox. Those are World Series opportunities that we can't get back. So ultimately, what you remember is last team standing for the fans of New York and bring another championship to New York. That's what we're all in this for.
Cash, address this, because this is the question I get. It's the question anybody who does what I do gets all the time. When will the Yankees make their, you know, how will this unfold in July as far as looking at the pennant race, staying the course of what your plan is, but also taking this opportunity that this year can present, that fine line that you tiptoe there?
I mean, I think I think every step we're trying to take is the same decision-making process that got us here. And I think if we take those approaches, it'll serve us well to finish us off. If we have something that presents itself, yeah, it might hurt, you know, but it's going to make a massive difference in the present and the future. I think that's going to move a needle with Hal Steinbrenner and his baseball operations, and so. But, you know, in the next 6 weeks, if I'm engaging, you know, all parties, and it's really, you know, difficult to complete business unless we go ahead and take it on the chin in such a horrific way that jeopardizes all the hard work we've done, hopefully we'll have the discipline to stand down.
Gotcha.
And because we want to be a championship caliber team today and moving forward, not put all those chips in one basket, and next thing you know, it doesn't work out, you get injuries, you don't perform when it most likely counts, and then you're not as lined up as you want to be as you move forward at the same time. So that's the balancing act we're going to have to walk.
I've been accused from the callers, you've been accused in a couple of places of being too patient with Carter. Have we both been too patient with Carter?
You know, I think I understand why, and I think calling it, whether you're a call-in person, you know, or a fan, that, you know, a blogger, whatever, you know, Twitter troll, everybody's seeing the same thing.
Right.
You know, you have somebody that's really struggled and underperformed for what his norm is. It just comes down to what's the alternative, and is there a realistic alternative that is definitely going to be an upgrade versus playing for the tie or, you know, actually making potentially someone else in that position that's not going to be as productive despite how bad the stretch has been. So that's what we're dealing with. I'm cognizant and recognize I'm not protective of a player. It's not like I'm invested in a ton of money. He's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He's underperformed, but he's got talent that has yet been untapped in New York, and it might not get untapped in New York, but in the meantime, we're supposed to have Greg Bird there. We're still finishing off and going through an injury that was unexpected that's taken longer. That's got to declare itself. If he comes back, then no one's going to have to ask about Carter.
And I defended the same position. If you take the years this man's had 500 at-bats, the last 4 years, he's averaged 35 home runs a season. That's a lot of home runs.
Yeah. So that means there's either more in the tank or at some point, yeah, we'll pull the plug, but we'd certainly like the Greg Bird situation to resolve itself first. And I don't want to make things worse by just doing something to do something, even though I appreciate and respect and understand the frustration because, hey, we work for the Yankees, whether you're a manager or coach, front office, ownership, there's the same frustration. It's just we have to have a little bit of a balancing act and understanding and patience at the same time if we don't have an automatic alternative.
I had a caller brought up a guy yesterday that I wasn't even familiar with that I wished I had asked you about now that I have you back. The guy who's from Princeton, Ford, who went to Double-A, went up to Triple-A, hit 4 homers in 10 games, then went back to Double-A. He's a left-handed hitter. Is he even someone on the radar, or what's up with him? Because I wasn't even familiar with him.
Yeah, he was, I believe he was a non-drafted free agent. But anyway, he's a Princeton University guy that's performed. And you know, from minor league spring training this year through today, he's actually, yeah, he's hit. He's put himself on the map to some degree. He's on the map for the New York side at this point. Not yet. But
he went up to Triple-A and actually hit when he went up there. And then you put him back down because you wanted to give Austin first base, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, we had G-Man Choi, who has performed at Triple-A, and he's performed at Triple-A before and played in the big leagues of Seattle, for instance. We've had him performing, Austin obviously down there, and Greg Bird on rehab. So there was really no at-bats, and we got so many other positions.
Does he have legit power, this guy?
Oh, yeah.
He does.
He's an interesting guy that the more we see, the more we'll get a more defined opinion of, but he's put himself on the map. That, I mean, it's WFAN, and we're talking about him now, where a year ago.
I didn't even know. I have to be honest. The guy called him and mentioned him to me. I wasn't even aware of him. He wasn't on the 40-man. I wasn't aware of him. I had never heard of him before, to be honest with you. And I didn't realize he had come up to AAA. And we looked. He hit 4 homers in 10 games. So he wasn't bad when he was there, obviously.
Yeah, so at some point, listen, if it continues, we're going to have to try some different things. But in the meantime, I ask for a little more patience, and we'll either see Carter resuscitate, or we'll be forced to change some things.
What do you do? What do you think about organizationally when you get a guy who goes through what Clippett goes through right now, and you're at first place or you're right there, team, and you're not. I mean, he's not hurt, but you're trying to get him righted. I mean, you saw last night, which was kind of painful. What's your thought process? I mean, there's not a perfect way to handle it, but how do you get him back in the fire and get him back on the perch?
You know, without talking to Joe, I mean, just to be honest and direct, I think you probably drop him a little bit out of the current
out of
role
the important
he's got.
Innings, right?
You see what, Greeny's been doing. Maybe you elevate somebody who's doing better.
Right.
Give Clip a little bit of a timeout to resuscitate and get it going. He's been so good for so long. I'm sure he's had bad stretches. This is a bad stretch. But he's healthy. But, you know, obviously, like anything else, it's, you know, we talked about Carter for a period of time here. It's a performance-driven league. And, you know, with good performance, you get a lot of trust. With bad performance, you lose some trust. And it's an ebb and flow. And it's our jobs collectively to help him through that. Because he's a valuable piece. He's been nothing but a success story in the major leagues. You know, he's got a career he should be extremely proud of. He helped us massively last year after the trade. So it's not a New York thing. He played well for the Mets. He's played well for the Yankees.
No, it's just going through a slump.
A bad stretch right now. That's we've benefited from great stretches for him. But right now, we're going to have to find a way to resuscitate him.
Yeah, no question. When you, as far as Judge, I asked Joe this yesterday. We're talking with Brian Cashman, the Yankee GM. Hal Steinbrenner will be among our guests later in the show. We got a lot more jam-packed on this 30th anniversary show. Judge and the Home Run Derby, he didn't have a problem. Do you worry at all about him being in the Home Run Derby? Are you a guy who worries about your guys being in the Home Run Derby, that it foul? You know, people think it fouls up guys' swings. Does that concern you at all? Or no.
I mean, I'd say no. You know,
he doesn't have to pull a ball to hit it out. That's for sure.
I mean, like every day is a Home Run Derby for him when batting practice hits. To be honest, and you see it playing out on the network, whether it's home or road, and they show the distance and stuff.
Right.
It's just, you know, he mishits balls and they go out a long way. So at the end of it all, I don't worry about it. To be honest, I worry about what I can control. I used to sweat out the All-Star games and wait for our guys to get pulled out. But again, if somebody gets hurt, like Cano got hit in a game one time, you know, when he was playing for us, and I got the call, I was trying to have a dinner and not even pay attention. And you worry about what you can control, and if you can't control it and something happens, so be it. You just have to adjust and deal with whatever comes your way.
So, and obviously he's going to be the big star at the All-Star game. There's no question. I mean, he's kind of become the guy. And Bellinger, how about Bellinger? I mean, you've probably met the kid, right? I mean, I don't know if you ever have. I mean, he was an old Yankee. I don't know if you've ever seen the kid or he's been around. But how about Bellinger? You know, we remember his dad, and look at the player he's become.
Pretty incredible what he's done. Incredible what Judge has done. We're obviously proud of the fact that we have names that are starting to be discussed nationally as impact young talent that, you know, warrants places, whether it's home run hitting contests or starting positions or lead vote getters in the All-Star games. And that's what we've been trying to get back to and build to. And instead of importing somebody for $500 million, you grow up from within and hopefully it works for you. And so thankfully we've got a couple of guys sprouting up right below us and delivering.
Does the strike, a lot of people are talking about the home run strikeout frequency now and how the game's being played that way. Any concern for you the way the game's being played?
No. I've always been, you know, a big power guy. I've talked about the big hairy monsters. I hate bunting. So, no, I think it's great for the game to see, you know, the fans watching the long ball. I mean, I know there's an appreciation for small ball and stuff and playing certain ways, but to be honest, that doesn't captivate TV audiences or bring crowds to their feet, you know. So what does is the long ball, and I love that.
And did Torres have a surgery yet or not yet?
Yeah, he had
did?
A surgery yesterday morning.
Anything that unusual, or did you get everything A-okay? Is that, I mean, not that they're going to tell you anything earth-shattering.
Like every surgery.
Everything's perfect.
There are always successful surgeries.
I mean, they might find out something they didn't know.
I asked before the surgery, is like, you know, because he went in for a pre-op the day before, you know, to go through things. And is there anything that's unexpected that the MRI shows that makes it more complicated? And they said, actually, this is about as clean and, you know, declared as you would want it, and everything should go through. All surgeries can go awry. All things can, you know, may not go perfect, but, you know, at least it was teed up in a way that it should be fine. So
Montgomery, you just saw him last night again. You know, he's really settled into a very solid pitcher, in that he has an approach. Every game might not be perfect, but, you know, he's got a game plan. You know, he definitely has hit his – he's definitely trying to get hitters to do certain things. He's getting them to try to expand the zone. He's got a repertoire. I mean, he's a pretty – he pitches. He's got an idea of what he's doing out there.
Tell you what, he's a godsend for us. He's done nothing but perform since Damon Oppenheimer popped him. I think it was a fifth-round pick out of the University of
South
Carolina.
Where was he at the start – like in winter, where was he? Was he someone even on your radar or not really?
Yeah, he was coming to Major League Camp, and he – wasn't on the roster, but a major league invite as someone that we felt, to be quite honest, that could impact our team at some point in 17.
Right.
But we had other guys that we thought ahead of him that would, you know, take a shot at the rotation.
So would he be a long, long shot? At that point, would he have been a long, long shot to be in the rotation? I mean, a really long shot?
He was, to use your world that you loved, he was a dark horse.
Okay.
But he's done nothing but outperform everybody every step of the way through the system. And, you know, so if you're asking him, he probably felt, I'm going to take a shot and prove the world. And he did. And
When did he first jump on your radar?
I'd say double A, you know, where he kept doing this, you know, because he had some deception in it. But I'll be honest, no one's ever called me about him from another club.
Wow.
So he's never received that type of notoriety. He's just someone like the Energizer buddy that just keeps performing. I actually looked it up because I'm like, you know, with all the deals, everything, you know, usually get guys hit on your players, and we have a lot more prospects today than we've had in years gone by. And his trade note section's
How
clean.
How about that?
Yeah, no one's ever asked me about him, but good, because I was never challenged to be in a position to think about moving him or not. So we're benefiting.
His
from
approach
a good
mentally
young player
is very
system.
Impressive. Yeah. It really is, because he's got an idea what he's doing out there. He really does.
Yeah. So there's a lot of guys that believed in him, and he's clearly believed in himself. And so you just love when people step up, especially out of the blue, and say, "Hey, I'm here and I'm here to stay." And you know, living through the Andy Pettit, who we did see coming. Or whether it's a Hitchcock, you know, left-handers in Yankee Stadium are so beneficial, you know, and so it's nice to have another one.
I had Severino at the Mohegan Sun for the charity, for John Ellis's charity that day, and I was saying to him, you want to be in a bullpen, you want to be a starter? No, I want to be a starter. I really feel I'm going to be able to command the pitches that I need to command. I really think I'll be able to be a three or four pitch guy. I've worked very hard at it. Everything's worked basically from where he was, and he was pretty much a little bit of a question mark there, bullpen or a starter, right? As we knew he had stuff, bullpen or starter, he has really just blossomed as a starter here.
He really has. You know, he's always been a starter. The stuff's always been there. The performance has always been there, and the only anomaly is 2016. So thankfully, he's returned to form, and, you know, again, another godsend for
all-star kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, all-star stuff.
He's been pretty impressive, and you know, obviously a completely different dynamic than what we experienced last year, both in major leagues and AAA, because he struggled with AAA last year too. You know, the power stuff always works in the pen, but again, him and Montgomery have been really important, especially because who would have expected Tanaka to struggle? I mean, if there's an injury, that's one thing, but to be non-injured and struggle, I don't think anybody would.
And I think Pineda's shown growth, because I'll give you the other night as an example. First of all, he took forever to throw the ball early in the game because he was clearly struggling. He didn't have command, but he, after getting off to a lousy start, gave you three zeros in the middle of the game, fourth, fifth, and sixth inning. I don't think he did that in the past. I don't think he did that last year. And that, I think, I've always wanted to see him battle through games. You're starting to see that from him a little bit now. So I think he's actually showing some growth.
I know Larry Rothschild felt last year, despite the struggles, he felt was a huge growth year. And Larry's like, listen, unless there's some injury that we're not aware of, I think he's turned the corner, he felt. I think in terms of being a competitor and fighting, Larry really thought that, you know, again, despite him on the verge of free agency, he was a guy that still had areas to improve on, but I know Larry felt last year that he really took steps in the right direction, and he's followed that up, and he's also been beneficial to us because, you know, with CeCe down right now and Tanaka struggling, you know, we desperately need everything else in between to work for us right now for us to get to where we want to be.
Well, listen, you've been, as we said, a fixture on the station for as long as anyone can remember. You've probably been, as we said, interviewed as many times as anybody else. Appreciate you coming down here on this today. Congratulations on the work you did with this team this year. You've put them back. You got an exciting summer coming up here. You got to be very happy with the Yankee future right now and what it looks like. So congratulations on that, and thanks for being as accessible as you've been. You've always been one to never shy away from an interview. We know, you know, you don't mind doing it. You answer the question, so you've always been there, so we appreciate that. We really do. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, and congratulations
on
all the success.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.